I want to take us back. Every year we do a series called Through the Crowd. And so what this is kind of a continuing series. We have a few of those around here. But this particular one is we look at the fact that Jesus was always surrounded by crowds of people. Always. His ministry. And it wasn't even like what he tried to do. He just attracted massive crowds that followed him wherever he went. But the Bible's very clear that even surrounded by crowds, thousands, tens of thousands of people, Jesus still saw the people. He still saw the individuals. The Bible says he was filled with compassion. He saw them in the midst of, he'd be walking through thousands. We're going to look at another one today. And so each week of this series, every year we do this, and we pick a few more that Jesus impacted during the Gospels and what we know about it. So give me 65 more years, we'll get to all of them, all right, everybody? But honestly, today we're going to look at someone that Jesus, honestly, he's moving through. This is somebody, the story's a little bit different. I won't spoil it ahead. The story's a little bit different in how Jesus sees this person. In how he comes across this person. And honestly, the only time he sees them is he's on the way to see somebody else. And it's like the Bible just includes this as a side story. But I think it will impact our lives. And so we do this series. But also, I think it's going to be a great lead up into Easter. And so if you'd like to invite somebody for our Easter Sunday, you have the card on your seat. And I would just encourage you also, people say yes when they get invited to Christmas and Easter. We don't know why that is. It's just what happens in our culture. So we're going to take advantage of it. Come on, somebody, and invite somebody to Easter this year. But this can be a great lead up to that in this series. But more than that, I want to share kind of the heart of our church this morning as well. If you're new with us or you've been a while, been with us for a long time, I want to share kind of what we're about, what it is that we're trying to do. And then at the end of all of this, I want to kind of move us a little bit today. Just a little bit. I just want to kind of move us in the right direction. Just get us to move. And I heard an analogy. I'd read it actually a while back and I liked it so much I stole it. Come on, somebody. And this is the idea. Have you ever been sitting in traffic? And to which you respond, have you ever been anywhere at any time of day in Baton Rouge? Have you ever? But you ever been in traffic and like you're not the first person at the stoplight. You get up there and you're like the second car back. And so you have a whole set of responsibilities as the second car that you don't have as the first car. First car, you got your own responsibility. We'll talk about that in a second. But as the second car, you have other responsibilities to everybody else who is behind you. I don't know if you know this. Traffic has hierarchies. But you pull up behind this person, you're just minding your own business, just trying to get wherever it is you're going. And traffic's bad, but you're the second car, so you know you're making it through. Unless you're at Goodwood and Flannery right here, because only one car at a time, apparently, in the way they've timed those lights. That's a personal issue for me. But you're the second car back. And minding your own business, and the light turns green, and what happens? The car in front of you doesn't move. And you, this is spiritual. This is going to resonate with somebody today. And now you have a decision to make. They don't move. You know they're on their phone. You know they're talking to somebody. You know they're trying to beat their child in the back. I don't know what they're doing. They don't move. And now you have to decide, am I going to honk or am I not going to honk? And part of you is like, I should honk. And part of you is like, I'm not. I have this dilemma. This happened to me last week. It wasn't even for the sermon, but it happened to me. It reminded me of the analogy. Because I'm sitting behind this person, and I'm like, I'm going to honk. And you get those voices like on your shoulder. One voice is like, no, you can't honk. You're a pastor. And I promise you, that's somebody from the church. I promise you, knowing your luck, that is a church member thing. And then like the other, and then the other side of the shoulder, you need to honk and get these people. You are a servant of the Most High God on the way to something. Get this person moving. They need your help. And then this other show is like self-preservation. And they're like 50-50, that person will throw it in park and get out of this car. And so I don't, like you go through this dilemma. You're like, I don't want to honk. And here's the problem. You don't want to honk. You know why? Because if you honk, you don't want them to think like you're mean or mad. I'm not mad. I just need them to move a little bit. Like I'm not angry. Like I'm smiling. Like what do you do when you do that whole, right? You have to like, you're like smiling, like the courtesy wave. Like I'm not mad. I'm not like, don't get out of your car. I just need you to move. Just need you to move a little bit. Because listen to me, every car horn in the world sounds mad. I don't know if you understand this. Like, it's just by default. And so we actually recorded that. Here we go. If you're actually going to honk, though, if you decide, I'm going to honk. I'm going to, and just to give you full disclosure, I did honk. Come on, somebody. I did. And this is what it sounded like. This is what a car horn sounds like. Some of you have like a visceral reaction right now to that. It just sounds mad. And so here's what, this is why I think every car should have multiple horns. Come on, somebody. If I was an automaker, I would have multiple. Like if I'm sitting in line and all I don't want, I'm not mad, I'm smiling, I'm waving, I just need you. I would have a different horn. Here's what I would play if I just need you to move just a little bit. Come on, somebody. Right? Like I'm smiling. like a clown behind you. I don't know what you got. Like, I'm happy. I'm waving. I just need you to move your car. Just a little bit. And then if I was automatic, I'd have multiple. And then like if you saw your friend, and so you're not mad, but you're not asking him to move or something like that. You just saw your friend like going by. You just wanted to wave. This is the horn I would play for that. Come on, somebody. Hello. Come on, son. That would be a better world. How many would say that would be a much better world? You just wave at your friend. But listen to me. Listen to me. Here's the point. Here's what I want you to get. Look up at me. All right. You go back to your phone in a second. Here, look at me. I'm not mad. I'm smiling this morning. I'm waving. I'm not angry in the bit. I just need you to move a little. All right. When we get in the rest of this, I want you to remember this all morning long. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I just need you. Some of you are stuck just a little bit. You're stuck in that marriage issue. You're stuck in that addiction. You're stuck in that struggle. You're stuck in that relationship. You're stuck in whatever it is. You're just stuck a little bit. And so this morning, if you're hearing anything from me, listen, I'm not mad. I'm happy. I love you more than I could possibly say. I just need you to move a little bit. I just need you to, I'm behind you. I'm honking that second horn, right? Just hear that pee pee pee, that clown horn. I'm not mad. I just need you to move. I just want us to move in the right direction. Just want us to just move, because too many of you are stuck in that thing. I just need you to move, because God's got too much in store for your life for you to stay stuck. That light is green. God's purpose for you is green, and you're stuck right there. And I just need you, because listen, there's a long line of cars behind you that are waiting for you to move. There's a long line. It's called your legacy. It's called your children. It's called your marriage. It's called your neighbors. It's called your purpose and your ministry in this life. It's called all the things that God has for you to do. All of that is waiting on you to step into your purpose. All of that is behind you. And so I love you too much not to tell you, not to get you to move just a little bit. Not to say, hey, the light's green. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm just saying it's time to move. It's time to take a little bit of a step. It's time to do. Come on, that's the mission of our church. And jot it down if you're taking extra notes this morning. Come on, how many holy spiritual people are taking some extra notes outside of the fill-in? We want to help people move from where they are to where God wants them to be. That's the mission of our church. That we exist. We want to help you move from where you are. Not mad, not because we're angry, but because there's a purpose on your life that I got to see you fulfill. God has given me a task that I would see you step into. I want to fire you up. I want to encourage you. But more than anything else, I want to get you to move just a little bit from where you are to where God wants you to be. And watch this. Years later, you will look back and say, I'm not maybe where I should be, but praise God, I'm not where I was. That I started moving just a little bit. And so today, if you just hear, it's just your pastor behind you. If you ever see me out on the road, avoid me like the plague. Come on, somebody. But in church, it's just your pastor. I'm just honking the horn a little bit. Just a little. I've just got to get you just to move just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just one step today. This is important. Because here's the thing. We move people. And I would say we move people towards three different things. And the first one that we would do is we move people towards Christ. Towards a real, authentic relationship with Jesus. A real authentic, and we're going to talk about that today. But the actual idea of we move people towards a desperate need they have for Jesus. Then the second thing is we move people towards community. You have a need for real, authentic community. Jimmy talked about this last week. This idea of a wingman, that Jonathan and David, this idea you need somebody around you, holding you up, keeping you accountable. You desperately need community. It's why we do small groups here at the church. It's why we have the opportunity every week at midweek and during the small groups throughout the week, Sunday mornings, Tuesdays, Thursdays in the afternoon, whatever it is, whatever you can meet, there's community for you to dig into, for you to join up. You need that in your life. We move people towards community. And then finally, we move people towards their calling. Kirby talked about it 2 weeks ago, that we move people towards their purpose, that you were made on purpose and for a purpose, that we move people towards the calling God has on their life. Not because we're angry, but because, again, there's this line of legacy and children and people waiting on you to make a decision to step into what God has for your life. The impact you're going to have, it's waiting on you just to move a little bit. Listen, as simple as I can make it, I just want to help you move in the right direction. Because, again, how many know there are a lot of directions, but there's probably only one right direction? Like, there are a lot of directions you can go that are not the right direction. How many understand that, right? You have been, anybody you are directionally challenged, anybody knows somebody, not you, let's not have like the shame. Anybody you know someone who's directionally challenged? Come on, so how many sitting next to somebody who's directionally, it's just, like even right now, they turn to glare at you and they turn their head the wrong way. They just turn your other left. Last week we were coming back, we were driving, and we're in the car, we're headed back to the airport where we were, and we weren't stressed for time. Like, we were just almost stressed for time. You know what I'm talking about? You know that line? Apparently, I live my life on that line. That's what my wife has told me. But we were almost stressed, but we had enough time. And so we're going back. But the city we were in, I'm very unfamiliar with it. And so where we were, the way it's constructed, there are tunnels where you go under the road, and that's kind of the cross city highway. You would go underneath, so then you pop out on the other side. So it kind of keeps the through traffic out of their hair, which sounds amazing. I think Baton Rouge should dig tunnels everywhere, and they'll flood every August. It's amazing. But where we were, they have the luxury of building underneath the ground. And so they have these tunnels that they go under. The problem is, if you're used to Google Maps or Apple Maps in a place that's completely flat with no underground tunnels, you have no idea how to distinguish which is which. And so I'm just like driving, trying to get to the airport, not stressed for time, just slightly stressed. And it tells me to take a turn, and I take the turn, go into the tunnel, and realize I have made a mistake. Come on, somebody. Because I keep going, and it's telling me to take another right turn, and there are no right turns in this tunnel. It goes one place and one place only. And so I blow past that turn. I'm now lost. And where do my eyes immediately go? They go to that time to destination on that GPS on my phone. I immediately go, and I'm waiting, and I'm watching. And what does it say? It says rerouting, rerouting, and then doubles. Come on, somebody. It just completely, and I have made a mistake. I have made a massive, but here's the miracle of it. I have blown past the turn. I have screwed up. I have gotten on the wrong path, the wrong road, and headed God only knows where. But my GPS is so kind that it will then, in a few seconds, immediately offer me a new road to take to get to my destination. A new route today. It's amazing. It's this incredible, like, incredible thing. Like, this amazing opportunity. I don't know if you're directionally challenged. I don't know if that's your thing. I don't know if, like, you're off base, if you're off whatever. I don't know if you're spiritually directionally challenged. But here's what I do know. Every so often when we get off of that, it suddenly starts to say rerouting, recalculating. I'm going to leave that right there. I'm gonna come back to that in a second. Because listen to me, too often times we go off in a direction, but it's the wrong direction. And if you know somebody who's directionally challenged, there was a time, I'm not naming any names, there was a time at church or at the office where I sent somebody on a agenda or on a errand I had, and they needed to go down to Essen, and then they had to go down to Dalrymple. And I didn't think anything of it, and like 30 minutes later, I'm doing something else, and I get a call, come on somebody. And they said, I missed the Dalrymple exit. And I'm in traffic. We're not moving very fast. And anybody who grew up driving in Baton Rouge, you understand where this is going. And they're like, we're not moving very quick. And so I need you really, really quick. Tell me how to not go over the bridge. To which I responded, oh, bless your heart. Say hello to Port Allen for me. Come on, somebody. Just say, I got nothing. I'm not bringing you back from that. Listen. Their intentions were good. But they weren't getting to LSU that way. Their intentions were great, but they weren't getting to the destination. I had great intentions, but I wasn't getting to the airport. I had amazing intentions. They had the intentions in their life. They heard the mission. They took the mission. They got in the car. They went across the bridge. Come on. They had the greatest intentions, but they weren't getting where they needed to go. Listen to me. It is your direction, not your intention, that determines where you end up. And I think we need to internalize this, because I think sometimes we celebrate intention so much, and maybe in a good way. We have built a holiday around intentions. Come on, somebody, New Year's Day. We have built an entire holiday, and we celebrate intentions. If you can write it down and you can say it, we will celebrate with you on January the 1st. Doesn't matter what comes next. We just celebrate. We have built intentions. We're going to lose that weight. We're going to do this. Somebody told me last year, they're like, I am 20 pounds away from my 15-pound goal. Come on, somebody. I am almost there. We celebrate with you. We will celebrate the intentions, but listen, it is the direction. We have good intention. We got a good intention to see that marriage restored. Good intention to see that thing broken off. Good intentions to see us getting free. Good intentions to get back involved in church. Good intentions to do all the... Listen, we have good intentions, but good intentions are not enough. You need to focus on your direction. It's the direction that you're headed, not your intentions, that determines where you end up. Because you will end up in the wrong place with the best of intentions and wonder, how did I get here? Because listen to me, here's the question I ask, and this simply is, are you moving in the right direction? Is your marriage moving in the right direction? Is your kids, your family dynamic moving in the right direction? Is your health moving in the right direction? your relationships, whatever it is, you're moving in the right. And I evaluate every direction of life. And here's the question, because everybody, this is what everybody will tell me. They'll be like, Ben, if we have this conversation, I'm just in a rut. It's just a season. And honestly, if I'm being honest with you this morning, I say the exact same thing. It's just a season. I'm just in this season. It's going to change. Things are going to do. I've got the best intention. This is just a rut. It's just a season. But listen, if I can just give you some advice this morning, if it's year after year, and listen, just listen to me as your pastor. I'm not mad. Remember, I'm smiling. I'm happy. Just need you to move a little bit. Just let me give you some advice. If it's year after year after year, it's not a rut. It's you. I'm not mad. I'm not bringing down the hammer today. I say the exact, if it's year after year after year, it's not a rut. It's not a season. It's you. And oftentimes we need to develop, we can evaluate our intentions till we're blue in the face, evaluate your direction. And here's the question that I ask myself. This is an area of life. And this is something I do internally. It's something I learned from another pastor. And I would just encourage you, if you want to steal the question, steal it like I stole it. Come on, somebody. If this area of my life continues down the same path, so whatever it is, you fill in the blank. Whatever area of life you want to put there, your marriage, your job, your relationship with your kids, whatever it is, if it continues down the same path, then the question is simply, will I be satisfied with the results? Am I going to be, if it keeps on happening, if it keeps down this exact same path, am I going to be satisfied with the results? Because listen to me, we're driving and we go down in this tunnel. I am not satisfied with the result. I am not happy that now, like, we're a little bit stressed, and I got to return the car. I got to put all the things that I thought I had time for. Like, suddenly I'm thinking, oh, Lord, help us. We are not going to make this. I'm a little bit stressed, but what happens? What happens? I come out. I'm in a city I don't know. I'm halfway past. I've blown past this turn in the tunnel. And now I'm looking, and that thing, miraculously, my GPS is so kind that when I screw up, when I made the bad choice, you know what? They would never sell a single one of them. You imagine if your GPS was just like, you screwed up, good luck, and just shut itself off. Come on, somebody. Company go out of business tomorrow. But it'd be amazing if it was just like, yeah, you made one too many wrong turns. No more recalculating for you. But it's so kind that when I screw up, when I went down in the tunnel, when I blew right past whatever that surface turn, surface road, street turn was, when I couldn't understand where I was or what I was doing, when Alyssa distracted me, come on, somebody, when all these things, when I made a mistake, it's so kind that it would then say, rerouting, and then give me a way back to my destination. And somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody needs to hear that when you screw up, when you just listen to me today, listen to me closely, that when you get off track, when you get off path, when you get on the wrong way, when you go down in the tunnel, God is so gracious that he offers rerouting. Come on, somebody. He offers rerouting in your life. That you get off on the wrong path. You get off that. I am so thankful for the grace of God that when I screw things up royally, he reroutes me back to my destination. He gives me a way out. The Bible says when we, listen, yeah, give God praise for that. That he offers rerouting. That when we're going to say, you remember if you had a Garmin in that weird time between maps and phones, if you had that little thing that said, it would just say, recalculate, 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 recalculate. That God offers that when I get off track. When you get on the wrong path, and he recalculates, rerouting. And it's never too late to get to the destination. It's never too late to live and to step into the purpose God has for your life. It's never too late to be who God called you to be. Amen. That I know you screwed it up. I know you're down in the tunnel, but you're coming up for air soon. Amen. That God has a plan for your life. That God has a place for you to go. God has a purpose for you to do. There's cars waiting behind you. It's never too late to put the phone down, to stop the talking, to do it. Never too late to get back on the path. Never too late to move. He offers rerouting. This verse, I love this. It says, when we are unfaithful, I'm so grateful that God is what? He's faithful. When we screwed it up, God is so faithful. He's got a path back to your strength. He's got a path back he offers. And when I screw up, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. Reroutes me back to my destiny. I want to walk through a story today. It's in Mark chapter 5 for the few minutes we have left. I want to walk through the story of a lady who was on the wrong path. And she was on the wrong path, not for like a week or two. We hear about this when we read it. She was on this path for over 12 years, headed the wrong direction. And suddenly God gets her back on the right one. Let's pick it up in Mark chapter 5. We're going to walk through the passage of this person. Mark 5, it says there was a large crowd. Everybody say large crowd. Large crowd that surrounded Jesus. There was a large crowd that followed and pressed around Jesus. And so he comes into this lady's town. And so it says he comes into the town and a woman is there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So we learn something important about her just from the get-go. And this is in three different gospels. And so I'm kind of piecing them together as I tell you the story. I want to walk through it in Mark, but she's all over the gospels. And so the story of this woman, we learn something from the very beginning, before she even does anything as a part of this story. We just learn a couple of things about her. One is she's got an issue. She's got this thing she's dealing with. But the second thing is she's got an issue that's between her issue and her breakthrough. And that's people. There's this crowd around Jesus. You will see this so often. You see it with Zacchaeus. You see it with the blind beggar. You see it so often that the crowd of people surrounding Jesus keep other people from Jesus. Listen, imperfections don't keep people from Jesus. People keep people from Jesus. I think that'll preach. I'll preach that another Sunday. That we sometimes we got to make sure we're not the one. That's a whole nother. We don't have time. Come on, somebody. And a woman's there. Listen, we learned a couple of things about her. She's trying to get to Jesus, but the crowd is around. She has an issue between her issue and her breakthrough, and it's people. It's why, write it down in your notes this way, the wrong path is usually the result of the wrong people. And Jimmy preached it. Go listen to last week's message. I would just encourage you, because too often times I find myself in life, when I find myself in a rut, or I can't get a breakthrough, or I keep making wrong decision after wrong decision, oftentimes it's not so much about the wrong decision, it's not so much that there's something that's wrong, there's someone that's wrong. And I got to evaluate the crowd in my life. I got to evaluate who's speaking, who's keeping me from the break. I got to start to evaluate, and I think you do as well. I mean, again, I'm not mad. I'm just honking the horn a little bit this morning. I think sometimes we need to evaluate the voices we allow to speak into our lives. And so this lady, she's going around. So if you evaluate those people, pretty soon you'll realize, like, it's the wrong relationship, or it's the wrong friend, or it's like the wrong work environment, or it's the wrong boyfriend, or the wrong girlfriend, the wrong thing in your life. You get the wrong people in your life, it will always be a block between you and what God wants to do. Always be a block between these things. This lady needs a breakthrough. And guess what? The scriptures tells us right between her and Jesus is a crowd. Jot it down if you're taking notes. Jot it down this way. And that is that people in your life are either a bridge towards your purpose and your calling, or they are a barrier to your breakthrough. The people in your life, they are either a bridge, or they are alongside, or you are doing this life together. That's why we value small groups so greatly, because we are not all perfect. Praise God. Come on. None of us are perfect, but all of us are pursuing what God has for us. And so you get into community, you get in with your small group. I promise you, it becomes a bridge to your purpose instead of a barrier to your breakthrough. And this lady, this crowd around Jesus is keeping her. So she's got this crowd. And the scripture goes on, it says she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And she had spent all that she had. How much had she spent? All. Everything that she had. She had spent all that she had. And yet, instead of getting better, she got worse. How many of that speaks to you right now? Like, you have tried thing after thing, solution after solution, and it's not like you even kept the status quo. Like, you tried everything you could think of trying. You spent all that you had. You gave everything to it, and instead of even, like, it's not even that you didn't get better, you got worse. This is where this lady is. 12 years she has done. Year after year, she has spent everything. You can imagine how it started. Like, she had plenty of money, plenty of resources, plenty of time. This thing is going to happen. All the energy she needed. First doctor, second doctor, third. She tried every solution. As the money starts to run out, you can imagine what's going on. Until eventually she spent everything she had to try to fix it. And not only did she not get better, she got worse. Every solution she could think of to try to do it, not only did it not get better, it got worse. Show me something else about the wrong path, and that is that the wrong path is always costly. It's always pricey to go down the wrong path. Not only is it often about the wrong people, oftentimes it is always pricey. It is always pricey to go down. It takes a lot out of you. A lot of you guys, you'd be a lot wealthier right now if you hadn't spent all that stuff on the wrong path. Come on, somebody, get amen in God's house. Some of you are thinking right now, like, it cost you some relationships. It cost you some time. It cost you some missed opportunities. It cost you some money. Let's just talk about it. Some of you are thinking, like, in your pre-Jesus life, how much richer you would be if you hadn't gone down that wrong path. How you hadn't spent all that money. You wish you had that back in your BC life. Like, you spent it on something. You didn't even know why you did it. You just did it. And it didn't. Not only did it not make it better, you got worse. You spent everything, and oftentimes, the ones that I get are the ones that I don't even know why I did it. It's like, honestly, I was searching for a metaphor or analogy. I love those. I don't know if you've noticed, but I love it. It's like if you've ever been on a cruise. Anybody ever been on a cruise? I've been 15 years, I think, since I went on a cruise. It's been too long, somebody. I'm going to go on a cruise. Next month, I'm going to get some preachers in here, and I'm going to go. I went about 15 years ago with some buddies of mine, and we got the cheapest tickets you could possibly get. Come on, somebody, anybody heart to heart with me? Like four or five people to a room. Like, this is the super saver. Buy it like a month out. Just the cheapest tickets we could possibly. Just get us on the boat. Because you know the secret about a cruise is, doesn't matter what ticket you buy, it's all paid for. Come on, somebody. It's amazing. You just got to get on the boat. And so we get on the boat, and they got the ramp for this boat. You get on about midway, like halfway up and down this boat. And then there is like division of the classes. If you have a good ticket, you go up. If you have a bad ticket, you go down. Come on, somebody. It's just, we had a bad, bad ticket. We go down, and not just down, we go down, down. Like, we start going down these stairs, and it's like the Lido and the Delta and all the whatever names of the decks. And then it's like Lido 2 and Delta 2. And like, sorry, and we just keep going down, down, down. We are below the waterline. Come on, somebody. Like, I didn't even know they had rooms down there. I thought that was just like the way they like kept the boat afloat. We're down below the waterline in our room. As low as, just to give you an idea, one night we came out of our room, and the door next to us, to the room next to us, opened, and it was our waiter from dinner. Come on, somebody. It was... That's where we were on the boat. But hear me out. I don't care what ticket you have. Listen to me. Whatever ticket, if you are on the boat, it's all paid for. It's amazing. You go to eat food, it's paid for. You go to get ice cream, it's paid for. The entertainment is paid for. It's all paid for. But I noticed something like 3 or 4 days into this cruise that not everybody was having the same inexpensive experience that I was having. Without going into too many details, they weren't having the same they weren't having the same free experience that I was experiencing, because the cruise they were having was a totally different experience than the one that I was having as the good godly pastor guy that I am. The experience they were having was completely different. So about 3 days in, one of the guys on the trip, I was standing with him, and he was like, "Bro, I'm so depressed. I'm so broke," and I was like, "How? It's all paid for. Like, the food is free." How is he? He's like, "I'm so broke. I can't get off this. I can't even like get off this boat and face my credit card. But I have no money." And I'm like, "How is this possible? The food is paid for. Everything is paid for." He's like, "Not what I'm buying. Come on, somebody." Just. And I realized something. There are paths in life. You can take paths that are completely free. The experience is completely different. But the wrong path is so incredibly costly. You will pay more than you ever thought you would pay. You will go further than you ever thought you would go. You will break more than you ever thought you would break. So in 12 years, she has tried solution after solution. She's tried everything she can. And she's worse. And it says, the Bible is very clear to say, and she had spent all that she had. Over and over till she was completely spent. Listen to me, the wrong path will drain you. The world will drain you. That relationship will drain you. Your finances will drain, because you're spending money on something that will never fix the problem. Never fix the problem. But then you realize something about God. And here's, and just being honest with you today, following God and following culture are both costly. If I'm being honest with you, I think following culture is very, very costly, but also is following Jesus. Let me say it this way. You will spend your life on something. You will spend your life on slave. Something's going to take your time. Something's going to take your life. Something's going to invest you. You're going to invest your attention somewhere. You're going to give your life to something somehow. The only difference is one will leave you fulfilled and one is always going to leave you frustrated. You're going to spend your life somehow. One will leave you fulfilled. This lady is frustrated though, because she's tried issue after issue. Can I get somebody's attention today? I think it's about time you turn to Jesus. Because you've tried everything. You've tried thing after thing. You have spent all that you have, and it's not working. I would just ask you again, not mad, I'm just honking behind you. How's it working for you? Trying everything else in this life. I think it's about time you run to him for the first time. That you run to Jesus with the issues. Because you might have felt frustrated after frustration. And maybe the thing you have put into your life cannot fulfill you. I promise you, Jesus is the answer. Because I'm in a room with a couple hundred people who have given their lives to Jesus, who would say that he can fill every void that you've experienced in your life. He can walk through every pain that you've ever walked through. And he is the peace that you're looking for. The fact that he is the answer, I think it's about time. You tried everything else. It's been 12 years, issue after issue. And now you're the woman with the issue of blood pressing through the crowd to get to Jesus. Because you've tried everything else. Tried everything else. We hear this lady. Wrong path after wrong path. And the story changes. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she came up. She said, "Okay, I've heard about this guy. I know what he can do. I've heard about him." And she said, "If I can just touch his cloak, if I can just touch his clothes, then I'll be healed. Something super important. Here's number three. We talked about the wrong path. Let me talk about the right path for a second. The right path will always, jot it down if you're taking notes, always push you towards Christ. The right path will always lead you to Jesus. She had this understanding. She said, you know what? I heard something about Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you've heard something about Jesus. Follow Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Do these things. You just heard these things. And I'm telling you, when you start moving towards Christ, you automatically start moving towards your breakthrough. The miracle you want in your life, it is found nowhere else but in Jesus. The breakthrough you want, the thing you're hoping for, the void that's missing, it is found. This answer to whatever it is found in no other place but Jesus. And look what happens to her story. She touches the hem and it says, and immediately her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body, she was freed from her suffering. 12 years of struggling, one encounter with Jesus. And she's healed. Show me something powerful. Write it down in your notes this way. And that is what you would call your power. What we would think is our, and I almost put it in quotes, your power, it rests entirely on your proximity to Jesus. That's good, preach. I'll shout myself down right here. That's good, preach, right? Your power, what you think is your power to deal with your issues, what you think is what's inside of you to deal with, all of that is entirely resting on your proximity to Jesus. You want to deal with your issues. You want to do this. There's something about it. I'm talking to believers right now that you too often, you have turned this thing into religion and you have turned this thing into ritual. I think it's about time we got back to relationship where we get our heart as close as we possibly can to Jesus. We get as close as we can to Jesus because we got all these issues and we're trying to deal with them. Let me give you an example like this. Let me just give you this. All right, we got issues today and I got some helpers here on the front row. Help me out, guys. I hope this works. And if it doesn't, blame it on them. Come on, somebody. We got issues in our life and you're dealing with it. And so honestly, if I said issues right now, I would probably, the number one thing you're probably thinking is would be this one major issue. This one major thing that we're dealing in our life, and that would be sin. That's the big issue that all of us that we're talking about. That's the one. But honestly, if I'm just being truthful with you guys today, and I apologize if you're way over here, this says sin here. I'll try to read them out as we go. If you're honest with ourselves, a lot of the issues we deal with, I wouldn't even categorize it under sin. Because there's some things that we're living with. There's some things that we're going through. Some things that we're dealing in our life, like anxiety. That's a big issue that we deal with in the culture today. That's a major thing that we're going along in our culture today. Anxiety that we're dealing with. Our finances. This is something that's weighing on somebody right now. You're sitting in this room and you're not even hearing me because you've got this thing weighing on your heart or on your mind. And you're thinking, that's great, Pastor, but I got issues. We'll talk about that. We got issues that are finances. Some of you have major issues. Some of you guys, your major issue. You just got problems in your... No, that's a joke. That's not... We'll talk about that after service. You come see me. We'll talk about it. That's in August. We all love each other right now. We just don't think. But we got issues in our life. Some of you guys, you got issues in your marriage where you're dealing with things that are weighing you down. Some issues that are major in your life. And you're beginning to think through these things. You got issues. Some of you, it's issues of loss. Somebody in your life. There's issues of loss that you're walking through. And people around you, they don't understand what it is that you're carrying. And so you're walking with this. It's just weighing you down in your life. Some of you, it's health. It's one of those issues that it's so polarizing because you look around at people that have their health and you think how lucky they are and they don't know what I'm walking through and they don't know the things I'm carrying. I'm not making light of these things. These are issues, disappointment. This is where you thought like, okay, God's going to come through and God's going to make this happen. All these things are going to happen in my life. All these dreams that I had, all these things that are going to do and then it didn't happen. There's disappointment. Some of you, it's addiction. You got something in your life you just can't seem to shake. There's just something that just can't seem to make it happen. You have that, it's just weighing on you. It's weighing on you. Some of you, it's loneliness. This is a major issue. We have never been more connected in our culture today and never been so alone. And the people around us, I would just remind us as the church, just let's keep this in mind. People are carrying this incredible weight of loneliness. Some of you, it's decisions. Some of you, you're just carrying those things right now. I don't know if I can even get this one on top. Come on, somebody. Some of you have so many issues. You need like the spiritual step stool of life. That's what you need. You need like a step stool in life that you need just to get up. Some of you are like, I'm carrying every box up here, Pastor. That's just what I'm doing. I can't even fit everything in my life. I'm just doing like, Lord, help me. If I fall here, you guys come help me. Some of you have stacked up the issues of your life. And then here's the thing. Here's what we do. So then we have like this God box. Because we've got issues. And so we're good Christian people. And so we know we've got God in our life. And so here's what happens. We get God in our life. And we're like, praise the Lord. We're crying and we're excited and we're so happy. And 10, 15 years, we know we've got God in our life. But here's what happens. Here's the problem. Is that is we have our issues life and we have our God life. And there's way too big of a gap between the two. And we will live our entire lives like this. We will say, I have my God life. I know when to go to church. I go to church every Sunday. And I know what to say to the greeters at the door so they know that I am holy. Come on, somebody. I know exactly what to say when they say, turn around and say hello to somebody on Sunday. Praise the Lord, brother. It's like the house is on fire behind you. You're like, praise God, we're good. I know what to say if the pastor ever calls me. I know how to like make that contrite heart, but I'm really working through some stuff. And I know all the things to say. I've got my God life, but then I've got my issues life, and never the two shall meet. And so here's what we do. Here's the problem. Here's why this is such a big deal. Because if it was just an illustration, it'd be funny and we'd go on our way. This is somebody's life right now. Because we're like, I've got all these issues, but I remember the pastor said, I've got God in my life. And so now I'm like, God, why? God, just help me. Help me deal with my issues. But we've got God so far over here. And we're like, but don't actually come close. Because this is my issue life. This is what happens Monday through Saturday. And this is my Sunday life. And so I don't want, but God, we cry out on Sunday, but God, would you just help me deal with it? But there's no leverage to make any difference in the issue. Because we've kept God so far away. And listen to me. This is why this is so important. And if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. This is all I'm asking. Remember, I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm just saying move away. If you hear nothing else, here's what I just want you to take away from this. And that is, when you have these issues, you have this mountain, and that is just move a little bit closer. Just move towards God just a little bit closer. Just move a little bit closer. And so now I'm like, okay, I'm going to start actually reading my Bible. I want to hear what God actually has to say. Not the whole thing at once, like a verse for the day, a chapter. Start small. Somebody jumps in the deep end and they don't even know how to swim yet. Just start small. I'm not saying like go home and read all of Habakkuk. I'm saying like find a verse for where you are. And so I'm going to move a little bit closer. Or like I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to read like a chapter for that day. Or I'm going to find a promise that God has for the season that I'm in. Or a verse I'm going to memorize. I'm going to stick it on the dash of my car. And so when I am in that traffic, I'm going to have that verse that changes the heart of me. And I'm going to get a little bit closer. I'm going to get in community with God's people. I'm going to get just a little bit closer. I'm going to get just a little bit closer. And here's what happens. The closer you get, the stronger your connection with God becomes. I was talking to somebody this week, been going through something, and they made the statement. They were like, you know, I'm walking through something, and they've gone through stuff that honestly, if I just said it from the stage, they've been through it. And they told me, like, I've had my relationship with God. I read the Bible every morning, but I haven't been able to read it. But then the next thing they said was the most amazing thing. But they said, but I've read so much of it. I have so much of it inside of me that I'm able to reference. I know all of the verses. Listen to me. That's where you want to. David said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I have not sinned. I'm not saying you have the ritual every morning. You have the exact same Bible, the same thing. You start to memorize scripture. And then when you're in the thick of it, that's what God brings to remembrance. God's not all about like the printed word on the page. That's the thing. He wants his word in your heart. That's what will take you through the dark things of life. I was sitting there thinking, like, I'm taking notes. Like this is the most, this person who has this faith in God, this strength in God. Then when I'm walking through it, suddenly your relationship with God is what sustains you. And so you get a little bit closer. A little bit closer. And so I'm starting to believe. I'm starting to know. And suddenly, I've got my life so God. Suddenly, I'm dealing with these issues. I'm like, God, help me with this. Suddenly, I've got my heart so close to God. Suddenly, there's enough leverage then to change everything in my life. There's enough leverage for God to come in. There's enough leverage. Get this stuff out of here. There's enough leverage. I'm so close. My relationship with him is so close to God that suddenly he has the power and the authority to speak into my life. I have opened up every area. There is no dark corner. There is no like shortcoming that I'm hiding from him. I'm open. Suddenly the power is there in my life for God to change every issue that I have. For God to change everything. That victory is possible in my life. That victory is possible. So here's the $1 million question then. Then how do I get close to Christ? I'm honking the horn. Here's the million. If that's what I'm asking you to do today. Because I never want to give you an abstract idea and not give you like the practical side of your victory, all right? If I'm going to get, how do I get close with him? How do we do it? The lady shows us in this story. First of all, it says you got to learn to take a step of faith. You got to learn how to take a step of faith. The lady, she got her miracle because she took a step of faith. What was her faith? Watch this in verse 27. The significant thing, right? She said, she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Look at that. I hit that projector. Come on, somebody. Who did that? Somebody fixed it. That's like when I had the palm tree of bitterness. Anybody remember that? I smacked this. Apparently illustrations are hazardous for our technology. That's just the way it is. She thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I just touch his, what was that? That was her step of faith. Listen to me. We have been living sometimes way too long in our lives, never taking any steps of faith in God. Never taking any steps of faith to step out. This woman got her miracle because anything you do significant in this life for the kingdom is going to be a step of faith. It's going to take a step. It's going to be a little bit out of the box. And hear me, it doesn't have to be this big showy. She's not blowing the trumpet on the way into the crowd. She's not telling everybody she knows, I'm about to take a step of faith. No, no, she just knows what she needs to do, and God honors that faith. God honors that. Look at the story. It says she thought, if I just touch his clothes. And she said, I'm going to be healed if I touch that. Once Jesus realized that power had gone out, he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who just touched my clothes? Remember, the crowd is pressed around them. There's thousands of people. And his disciples are like, you see all these people? And disciples, I love it because Jesus always asking them impossible questions. Like, you feed them, find the food, all the thousands, whatever thing. He's like, who touched my clothes? And they ask, look at all the people. How do you ask who touched me? And Jesus is like, no, 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 this, something happened. Something happened. Something is, you remember Jesus on the way to heal the daughter of Jairus. Like, Jesus is on the way to heal someone's daughter, and he stops. And his disciples probably are like, come on, come on, we got to go heal. And Jesus is like, no, 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 who touched my clothes? Who was it? Who said, there's somebody in the crowd that did something different. Like, they didn't line up in line to get, you know, healed. They didn't cry out from the side of the road. Somebody did something different. Here's the question I have. Why wasn't she healed then before this situation? Like, why wasn't she, it's a good question to ask. Why wasn't she healed just because Jesus was in the same area as her? Like, why wouldn't it? And here's what I've learned about God. Jot it down if you're taking notes. It's our faith, not our need, that moves God to action. And this is a hard truth. Again, I'm just in the car honking the horn. Like, this is a hard truth, but it's our faith, not our need, that moves God to action. There's way too many people that think, well, God knows about my issue, and if he wants to deal with it, he'll just deal with it. And that's not how God works. God has called us to step out in faith. He does the supernatural. He just calls us to do the natural, but he does call us to do the natural. And I told you this last month, God, things he calls us to do so often are not complicated, but we're still called to obey. We're still called to obey what he's saying because God does the supernatural, but he's waiting for us to move. He's not watching our small steps of faith in a judgmental way. It's like if you watch like a small kid take their first steps, like a little child is taking the first step they ever took. You're not looking at them like judging them for how they're not doing it perfectly. No, you know, you're cheering them on. That's how God looks at us when we take steps of faith. I know it might not be the greatest step of faith ever taken in the history of the world, but it's your step of faith. And God's looking at you, cheering you on. Somebody needs to hear that. God is cheering you on. God is commending you. God is celebrating your step of faith. Somebody's here today and you're back in church for the first time in a long time. Because you got up this morning, you decided, hey, we're going to church. We're putting God first. I'm going to get the kids up. I'm going to get them dressed, brush their teeth. Come on, somebody. And if they didn't brush their teeth, get in the car anyway, fought the traffic, came to the parking lot. You're in church because you put God first. I want you to know God celebrates that today. God commends that. God is cheering you on in that moment. That's amazing. Somebody shared their faith this week. Not this like big showy, you brought a microphone to work type of thing. No, no, somebody was going through something. You said, hey, Jesus gave me hope, and I know he can do the same for you. God celebrates that moment when we take a step of faith, when we do something for the kingdom. We honor God by stepping out. Here's the second thing I want to do. Last thing, if we're getting close to Christ, if we're going to get our miracle, if we're looking for a breakthrough, and that is develop a habit of spending time with Jesus. That guy I told you about, that there's a reason that God is sustaining through these things. There's a reason. It's because his heart has been so close to the Father that he's walking through these things. David said, I've hidden it in my heart. Young people, I would just say this right now. In high school, junior high, college, you get this in place early. And it will sustain you in the darkest moments of life. You get this habit in place of spending time with God. And it will sustain you. Because can I just be real with some of you? Some of you that walk with Christ a long time, a lot of times, let's just be honest together. A lot of times God will do the miracle in our life. Like he actually comes through and he does the thing. And we will get so tied up in other things after it that we will start living our life on our own and forget the very one who did the miracle. We'll forget the very one. And this lady, she gets the miracle in her life. And watch this, Jesus is asking. And this lady, knowing what had happened to her, she doesn't run off with that thing. She's already healed. She's felt this whatever. She doesn't run off and do this. She hears this and she comes. Watch this. I think this is so much riskier than we think it is. She came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear. Why is she so afraid? I think she thinks he's going to take it back. And yet she still comes to him. You read in the Old Testament, yet though he slay me, I will trust him. She still comes to him. She knows she's healed. She says she felt it in her body when she touched the hem of his garment. And yet she still comes. This is riskier than we think. And watch what Jesus, he thinks he's going to take it back. And watch what he says. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Now go in peace and be freed from your suffering. We ask this, I ask this question when I read this story, like, but she was already healed. She was already, listen, it's not so much Jesus celebrating her faith. But something I realized this week, it's not what he told her, it's what he called her. You remember this woman, she's had this issue for 12 years. She's gone to multiple things that she thought was her solution. She has been treated, I don't know how many different ways. She has been seen as a source of money and as a source of annoyance and as a source of whatever. She has been spent in every direction. Everybody has counted her. She is pushing through the crowd just to touch the dirtiest, smallest bottom of his garment just to see if she could be saved. And Jesus stands her up in front of everybody and he says, daughter, your faith. Remember, he's on his way to heal someone else's daughter, but he needs to remind someone who had forgotten she was a daughter. Amen. And you watch in the Gospels, Jesus never addresses another single person with this word. He talks about the daughters of Jerusalem. He talks about the sons and daughters of whatever. He never ever looks anybody else in the eye and says, daughter, daughter. This one who had forgotten who she was, this one who had spent herself in every direction. Suddenly she comes before Jesus and watch, she kneels in this posture of worship. Thinking he could take it back. He could give the miracle. He could do whatever. And she's right before Jesus. And listen, she gets something in this moment that I think a lot of you have missed out on. He looks at her and he says, daughter. You can feel the love in this moment through the crowd. Jesus has eyes for the person. He says, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. She got something in that moment. She walked in with pain. And she walked out with peace. She brought her brokenness into the presence of the Master, and she walked out as a daughter of the Most High God, and she walked out with healing and wholeness and freedom. She walked out with peace. And listen to me, you get that habit in your life of spending time in the presence of God. You have that moment where you start your day in his presence, where you start your day at his feet in posture of prayer. You will walk in with pain and you will leave that place with peace to overcome anything that comes against your life. You walk in there with brokenness and you will leave there with this power that God gives us to overcome any issue that you ever had. That we have that peace in our life. That she walked in with her pain and she left with peace. Because see, the natural response when things aren't working into issues in this world, the natural response, if it's not working, is just work harder. I get this all the time when I tell people I'm struggling with this or I'm walking through this or something, but we just got to hustle a little bit harder. Got to hustle, got to make it happen. Listen to me, that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. That's not how it works. It might be how it works in the world, but it's not how it works in the kingdom of God. Listen, a true change in direction, an actual genuine change has nothing to do with hustle. It has everything to do with humility. Actual change in the kingdom of God is saying, look, I don't know all the answers. I don't have all the solutions, but I know the one who is the answer and I'm running to his feet every time. It has everything to do with humility to find victory. Let's move towards Christ. Hey, listen to me. I'm not mad. Listen to me. I'm just honking the horn a little bit. Just get us moving in the right direction. Because listen, there's a legacy behind you. There's a ministry behind you. There are people behind you. It's your boss. It's your neighbors. It's your kids. It's your marriage. There's all these things waiting for you to move into the purpose God has for your life. Into the things he has for you. This series is called Through the Crowd. If I could just change it for just a moment, just for today. If we're going to move anywhere, we're going to move through the crowd towards Jesus. Bow your heads with me as we pray today. I think there's two responses to today's message. I think the first one is maybe for those of you who are believers. And so you've been following Christ and you've been living this life, but maybe you've let your pursuit of Jesus slip. And so you know the words to say and you know the the way to maintain the God life of this thing, but you keep it so separate from your issues, nobody can tell the difference. And today, I just want to give you a chance to respond, to say, okay, I want to make some things different in my life. I want to take a step of faith. I want to develop a habit of spending time with God. I want to just reignite my pursuit of Jesus. I want to pray for you right now that that would happen. I want to pray for us right there where you are. If that's you right there, pray with me as we begin to pray. Lord, I just ask, reignite the fire. That we would develop a habit of spending time with you. That we would continually trust you with every issue of life. We wouldn't keep you separate from the things that we're walking through. But we would realize you are the answer to all of it anyway. Lord, stir that passion again in our heart. As we draw close to you, we pray, Lord, be true to your word. As we draw close, that you would draw close to us. That as we bring you our pain, you would bring us your power and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Now the next group of people that I want to talk to, this is one last call for someone here today. And that is, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I want you to know that God sees you today. It's not too late for you. I think too many times we believe the lie and we think, well, it's too far gone, it's too late. No, no, no. God is rerouting your life today. You're in this church right now. You're watching online. You're listening. You're in this moment right now because God is rerouting your life. And you took the wrong street and you went down in the tunnel and you took the wrong turn and maybe you took six turns that were off. But listen to me. God is rerouting your life right now. And in this moment, you have an opportunity to get back on the right path. It's never too late to be who you might have been. God has a purpose for your life. And listen to me, you made me like this woman. And you've tried solution after solution. You've tried everything else there is and it hasn't worked. Listen to me, run to Jesus in this moment. Because he loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And you feel dirty and you feel counted out and you feel too far gone and you feel like you made too many mistakes. And listen, Jesus is looking at you and he's saying, daughter or son, come home. And you have an opportunity right now to run to the feet of Jesus. To take that step of faith. Here's what's going to happen. I just want to pray with you. You've been counted out by everybody else. Listen to me. God doesn't count you out. And maybe nobody else in your life wanted to. Nobody else in your life wanted to deal with your issues. Nobody else in your life wanted to stick around. Nobody else in your life wanted you at all. Listen to me. God wants you. God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. He wants you. Would you take that step of faith today? Right where you're seated. I'm not making you raise your hand. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I want to pray with you right where you are. You make that decision right now in your own heart. You make that decision to follow Jesus. You've heard about Jesus like this woman. You've heard about him. Now push through the crowd to get to him. You've heard about him. Now make a decision. Make a step of faith and believe in him. I promise you, your breakthrough, that power you're looking for, that solution, that answer, that it's all found in Jesus. I want to pray with you today. And listen, we're all going to pray. Church, pray with me. Nobody prays alone. But if that's you, make that decision. Pray with us this morning. Right now, dedicate your life. Right now, say these words. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sin, all my mistakes. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again, and I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, can you give God praise for what he's done today?